It's a big weekend to go to the movies, so let's bring in Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr, who's going to help you decide what to see. Ty, hope you had a nice holiday.
Thank you. You as well.
So the biggest film in theaters last weekend, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a new salvo in the Harry Potter franchise. It's the first screenplay written by author J.K. Rowling, the first time she's actually written a screenplay directly for the screen. And it's got a similar feel. It's set in the 1920s in New York, and the production design is terrific.
A wizardry feel.
It's a wizardry feel. Harry Potter. Well, Eddie Redmayne plays a young wizard naturalist named Newt Scamander, who's got a valise full of critters, magical critters that get loose in New York, causing all sorts of cuteness and action.
Well, let's hear a clip about that. Here's Scamander being interrogated by an American wizard played by Colin Farrell.
He was thrown out of Hogwarts for endangering human life.
That was nice, then.
With a beast. Yet one of your teachers argued strongly against your expulsion. Now, what makes Albus Dumbledore so fond of you?
I really couldn't say.
So setting a pack of dangerous creatures loose here was... it was just another accident. Is that right?
What would I do deliberately?
To expose wizard kind. To provoke war between the magical and non-magical worlds.
Okay, Ty, a couple of questions here. Harry, sure. The Harry Potter franchise was so popular. Can this stand up to it? And will Harry Potter fans like this film?
I think they already do. There's going to be 5 films in this series, so it's not going away.
Yeah.
Harry Potter is nowhere in this film. It takes place years before the events of the books. I think at this point, J.K. Rowling is a brand unto herself, and people know what these movies are going to be, what they're going to deliver. A lot of, you know, digital effects, fantastic stuff, but also a sort of grounding of serious business. And this movie does have its dark side. It's about the political storm clouds embroiling Europe and America in the 1920s, and metaphorically by association, it touches on things that are going on in our life right now, which is perfectly intentional on Rowling's part.
There's another film that's not getting the acclaim that Fantastic Beasts is, but it has been getting a lot of love. Moonlight, directed and co-written by Barry Jenkins. It is opening slowly in theaters around the country, so it may not be everywhere yet. Tell us about
that. Well, that's a movie that needs careful handling, but it is a beautiful movie. There's a handful of movies this year that are small-scale dramas about real people in America dealing with their life. Manchester by the Sea is one of them. Moonlight is another. They're excellent. This is a coming-of-age story. It's been called a African-American boyhood, which is a disservice to both films, if you ask me. It's about a young black kid told in 3 separate eras of his life, as a child, as a teenager, and as a grown man, played by 3 different actors, coming of age, coming out of the closet, dealing with his sexuality, going back in the closet in Florida in the 80s and 90s. Beautifully written, beautifully acted, goes in none of the expected places, but just seems honest and true and real, and tells a story that about people a lot of us think we know, but we don't. And it's just very much worth seeing.
Now, Janelle Monáe stars in this film. She's a great musician.
She's a terrific musician, but she doesn't sing in this. And it's really a supporting character as the girlfriend of the main character's mentor, who happens to be a drug dealer. And there's a scene here, there's a clip we're going to play, where we hear her. She's really the mother figure for the character in the adolescent section of the film.
What's wrong?
Nothing. You good?
No. I didn't seem good. And you ain't it. And stop putting your head down in my house. You know my rule. It's all love and all pride in this house.
How did Janelle Monáe do in this film?
She's wonderful. I'd love to see her. I mean, when you see her on stage or in her videos,
she's so energetic.
She's just like, you know, coming in from Mars. This is a very realistic role. It's a small role, but it's crucial. She's the warm maternal presence in this kid's life and in the movie that he needs. And she doesn't get a lot of screen time, but she really registers.
Okay, rules don't apply. Warren Beatty is back in our lives.
Yes, he is.
This is a man to whom rules
do not apply.
Yeah.
This is the first movie he has directed since Bullworth and starred in. So that's something of an occasion.
Let's hear some of it. Here's Warren Beatty playing the eccentric billionaire Howard Hughes.
These guys want to have a face-to-face meeting with me and then be able to say I'm crazy, and then I'll have to give up control of TWA to them. It's just...
Well, maybe you'd teach them a lesson if you just gave it to them.
Then they could sue me for a whole lot of money, and then they may come after my daddy's company, and so I really can't afford to let them make me some kind of a psychiatric case. I would leave this country and never come back. I'd leave this country and never come back. I'd leave this country and never come back.
A lot of actors have played Howard Hughes over the years. How did Beatty's performance stack up?
This is a deeply eccentric performance in a deeply eccentric film by a a movie star who's got his own eccentric side. I mean, this is a project that's been in the works for a long while. Beatty's always wanted to make a Hughes film. And really, he's a major supporting character. The main characters are this young couple in love played by Lily Collins and Alden Ehrenreich. You heard her in the scene. But when Beatty comes on, he kind of takes over the movie, and he obviously is playing Hughes at his most obsessive compulsive. Mm. The movie's kind of a mess,
yeah,
but it's a fascinating mess, and it's kind of nice to see Beatty on screen again.
Where's he been all these years?
Raising kids with Annette Bening. She's got a small role in the film. A lot of people show up in this film. Matthew Broderick, Martin Sheen, I could just go on. He like kind of opened up his phone book and said, come on over. I don't think it's a good movie. I think it's a fun movie. And you kind of.
So what does that mean? What do we do with that information? It's not good, but it's fun. Should we go see it?
Yeah, I think you should whenever you want to, whenever in the stream you want to see it, because at this point we kind of owe it to Beatty. He's been around for so long. There aren't that many movie stars of his caliber.
Yeah.
I'll go see whatever he does.
Okay, science fiction. Arrival, starring Amy Adams as a linguist. I've seen the trailers for this film. It looks suspenseful. It looks exciting. What do you think?
This is, this is one of those new mature science fiction movies along the order of Gravity or Martian that are, not really genre-bound but kind of come across as A-pictures. I really liked this movie. The aliens have landed in spaceships that look like the Monolith from 2001 all around the globe. She's a linguist brought in because they're saying something, but we don't even know what their language is. You have a clip that we should listen to where she's in the craft trying to communicate with them, and she's got this big hazmat suit on in the spaceship.
Yeah.
She's got this big hazmat suit on, and they all do. And she says, the only way I'm going to talk to them is if I take it off. So let's listen to this.
Dr. Banks? Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. They need to see me.
Take it off her hazmat suit. Dr. Banks? Is it okay?
You're risking contamination.
They need to see me.
Dr. Banks?
She's walking toward the screen.
Amy Adams, quite the career she's building.
Yes, yes. She's in a bunch of movies this season, Nocturnal Animals as well. She's one of those people I will watch in anything. I think she just does really interesting work and always takes a character in unexpected directions, as she does here.
Mm. For people who don't mind spending a little time watching a film with subtitles, you've got a recommendation for a French language film, L. It's directed by Paul Verhoeven. Many people might remember that name from 1992, Basic Instinct, which is maybe still his most famous film. Tell us about this one.
Oh, Paul Verhoeven is a nasty, nasty boy.
Yeah.
He's been, not just Basic Instinct, but RoboCop, Starship Troopers, Black Book, if you saw that movie a couple of years ago. I almost think of him as like the Vladimir Nabokov of movies, in that he plays tricks on audiences. And this is no exception. This is a tough movie with Isabelle Huppert giving one of her best performances. It opens with a brutal rape and assault, and then her character proceeds to refuse to play the victim throughout the rest of the movie to everybody else in her life, and certainly to her attacker who comes into her life in other ways that I won't go into. And it gets messy, let's put it that way. I'm making it sound like a vigilante film. It's not like that at all. Mm. It is a As often with Verhoeven, it is a film with a strong and slightly perverse heroine doing things to men that they do not expect.
Huh.
It is tough meat. It is not for everybody. I found it fascinating.
So maybe people will pass on that. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be pleased by watching that movie. But let's just say if you have one or two options over the weekend, you can't fit all these great movies in, which one do you have to go see?
Fantastic Beasts is a lot of fun. Arrival is a really good big think entertainment, and Manchester by the Sea, which we barely talked about, or Moonlight, either one of those two small movies are infinitely rewarding.
Manchester by the Sea, quickly go on that one.
Casey Affleck as a Boston area man with a tragedy in his past, trying to figure out if he can put his life together, written and directed by Kenneth Lonergan, and it is aces all around.
Okay, we got a lot of work to do this weekend. Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr, thank you very much.
Thank you.